The night was dark, the water was rough, and the mission seemed almost impossible. A group of exhausted soldiers led by General George Washington rode quietly across the icy Delaware River on Christmas night, 1776. Their chances looked slim, morale was low, they lacked supplies, and defeat. Greater was possible, even when everything around him said otherwise. That daring move led to a surprising and much-needed victory in the Battle of Trenton. It gave new hope to a struggling nation. And this wasn't just about military strategy. It was about courage, perseverance, and faith. The war wasn't over, but that moment proved that breakthroughs could come when we refused to give up, even in our darkest hour. I wrote an email this morning to some wonderful friends and ministers and in the church in San Diego. Of course, we're very closely associated with them. I wrote this on behalf of Vicki and myself to Bob and Jeannie Linfeld. And this is something I said. I said, these are both sorrowful and exciting times for all of us. Our nation is at the threshold of something we have never before witnessed in our lifetime and possibly never in the history of our country. The rhetoric and respect that our nation's leaders are showing towards God, the family, and country is truly remarkable and something to be miraculously encouraged by. It is exciting to see what the future holds for, quote, the fire has truly been lit. Mm-hmm. And we do honor those who have gone before us, sacrificing, making great sacrifices for our nation's freedom. But as we know, there's even a greater and deeper kind of freedom available to every person, no matter where you live or what country you call home. It's the freedom that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, you may be familiar. Welcome to go there. Paul, by revelation, wrote, it is for freedom. I'm reading from the New International Version. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Well, you know, this might sound confusing, but Paul wasn't talking about being set free from a human government or physical king. He was talking about a different kind of burden, the kind of people carry in their hearts and in their minds. You know, many people feel like they have to be perfect to be accepted by God. They try hard to be good enough, follow the rules, go to church, or do religious things to earn God's approval. But no matter how hard they try, it never feels like enough. That's the kind of pressure Paul is addressing. What's important to understand is that God doesn't want perfection from us. Instead, he wants us to change and grow, because that change will bless our lives, help us avoid many of the problems we create for ourselves. He isn't looking to judge us by a strict checklist or trap us with rules. Rather, he has a great desire for a slow, steady transformation that happens over time without pressure or fear. This process leads to a closer relationship with him and a better, more peaceful life, bringing freedom and peace of mind and heart as our love for God grows and we experience his guidance and personal transformation. So what did Paul talk about? What did he say? You know, stand firm and don't get entangled again with the, well, in this case, we know it was the legalists that were being infiltrated into the Galatian church that were trying to put people back under the law. How about freedom from guilt? How about freedom from fear? How about freedom from feeling like we have to earn God's love? You know, when Paul says stand firm, he's encouraging us to hold on to that truth, not slide back into the mindset that we says we have to perform or prove our worth. You know, Jesus Christ didn't rescue us so we could go back to living under pressure. He freed us so we could walk in peace, knowing we belong to him. Even some of America's founding fathers understood that true freedom needed a foundation deeper than politics. John Adams once said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." In simple terms, he was saying that without hearts guided by faith and moral character, freedom wouldn't last. And so, wouldn't that be true also in our personal lives? God gives us freedom, but if we forget what he's done for us, we ignore it, we end up right back where we started, weighed down by fear, worry, or pressure to prove ourselves. You know, when Washington crossed that icy river, he didn't know what would happen, but he stepped out anyway, believing the cause was worth the risk. And Jesus, when he went to that cross, he did so with that same kind of determination, only he wasn't fighting for a temporary victory. He was fighting for your heart and for eternal freedom, freedom that no one can take away. So my encouragement is that we learn to stand greater in that freedom. We refuse to carry the old burdens of guilt and fear, and we live boldly, not to earn God's love, but because we already have it. The greatest freedom isn't just what we've been set free. It's been what we've been set free for, to love, to serve, and to live in peace with God, like we're reminded in John chapter 8. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I'd like to close with two sections of Scripture, because really the title of this teaching is to stand firm in prayer. I think that's just been such an overwhelming, overriding theme. You hear our nation's leaders incorporating it into their speeches and talks, and I feel like it's genuine. It's not fake. But I want to look at Psalm 33. Start in verse 6. Again, I'm reading from the New International Version, which I think gives a really clear description. Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nation. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, and the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. And finally, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I think we're coming full circle on this. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all people, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life, and quiet lives in all godliness and honor and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today.